Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Friday, November 19th. Coming up on today's show, the province has announced major municipal reform throughout New Brunswick, including the amalgamation of Sackville and Dorchester and surrounding local service districts. We'll go over some of the details on this major change later in the show, and we'll talk with Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud to get his reaction. Also, live music abounds in Sackville this weekend, with shows on Friday and Saturday at Mel's Tea Room, co-presented with Sappy Fest, a country and fiddle show tonight at the Legion, and a show put on Saturday by the Sackville Early Music Festival. Later, we'll talk with Sappy Fest's Jeff McKinnon and Mel's Tea Room co-owner Dave Epworth about how two local institutions got together to bring back live music to Sackville. But first, in a talk last night delivered via video link from his home in BC, renowned scientist and environmentalist David Suzuki told the gathered crowd online and at Convocation Hall that Mount Allison University should be ashamed of its resistance to divestment of the school's endowment. Suzuki spoke as part of the President's Speaker Series and was responding to a question from student Helen Yao on behalf of Divest Mount A, a student group that has been working for the past 7 years to get Mount Allison to move its endowment fund investments out of fossil fuel industries. Yao asked Suzuki if he would consider endorsing the call for Mount A to divest. Here was his response.
Of course, and I think it's disgraceful that after 7 years, Mount Allison hasn't divested. I think it's a disgrace. And anybody associated with the university that takes climate change seriously should be embarrassed by this. If not embarrassed, ashamed.
University President Jean-Paul Boudreau was moderating the Q&A period after Suzuki's talk. Later, another audience member got up to comment on divestment, saying she was a Mount A alumni who would not be donating to the university until the school had committed to divestment. Boudreau said he had spoken to the Board of Regents recently on the topic, but made no commitments. Starting today, the Sackville Memorial Hospital ER will be closed at 4 p.m. each day and remain closed overnight until 8 a.m. the following morning. The change was announced by Horizon on October 29th and is due to a shortage of physicians and nurses to cover ER shifts. The ratification process for the contract offer to the QP locals involved in the recent strike action in New Brunswick is expected to conclude today. QP New Brunswick said it will release results as soon as the process concludes. Premier Blaine Higgs and Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell held a news conference Thursday, announcing an end to remaining circuit breaker measures in Moncton and Miramichi, and introducing a new household isolation rule instead. As of 6 p.m. tonight, everyone in a household with a positive case of COVID-19, regardless of their vaccination status, must isolate for 14 days. Anyone who is vaccinated can be released early from isolation with a negative COVID test. Mount Allison's fine arts students are set up today in the lobby of the Purdy Crawford Center for the Arts for their first show and sale of the year. The event happens twice a year and is a chance for students to show off and sell their original art and crafts. The sale is on from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Masks are required and sales will be cash only. The shopping opportunities continue in Sackville this weekend as Moonlight Madness takes over downtown tonight, with additional vendors and fundraisers along Main Street, wagon rides for kids, and a tree lighting at Bill Johnstone Park. Then on Saturday, the Heart and Pocket Review Independent Craft Market takes over the Sackville Legion for the day, with over 20 artists and artisans presenting their handmade wares. And we'll hear more about some live music events happening in town this weekend later in the show. Sackvillians will be heading back to the polls earlier than expected, and their neighbors from outside current town boundaries will be joining them. In November 2022, municipal elections will be held for a new municipal entity made up of the town of Sackville, the village of Dorchester, the local service districts of Sackville and Pointe du Butte, and about 40% of the local service district of Dorchester. The amalgamation is part of a major restructuring of local government throughout the province, announced Thursday by Daniel Alain, Minister for Local Governance. New Brunswick will move from having over 100 local governments and hundreds of unrepresented local service districts to 78 local governments and 12 rural districts. The new Sackville-Dorchester-Pointe Du Butte amalgam, referred to as Entity 40 in the province's plan, will have a population of 8,352, and the combined tax base will be just under $870 million. The population of Sackville during the 2016 census was 5,331, while Dorchester had 1,096 people. Sackville has about five times as many people as Dorchester, but its tax base is about 10 times as big. Alain said Thursday that the next step will be introducing legislation sometime in December to formalize the changes. Work on the transition will then begin in early 2022, with the goal of having the new entities functioning by January 2023. Officials from the Department of Local Governance will form transition teams to lead the establishment of the new municipalities, and those teams will consult an advisory committee made up of current elected representatives as well as community leaders from the LSDs. The transition teams will be responsible for selecting a chief administrative officer and clerk for the new municipality to be in place by September 2022. The transition team will also determine tax rates going into 2023 and create a first-year budget for the new municipality. They will also determine the number and type of seats in the new council for an election to take place in November 2022. I spoke with current Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud to get his reaction to the plan. Mayor Sean Michaud, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Erica.
So how surprised were you by this announcement regarding the amalgamation of Sackville, Dorchester, and the surrounding local service districts?
You know, I think we anticipated some changes. We probably weren't aware of the aggressiveness in regards to those changes. So, you know, and changes were anticipated, but maybe not to this extent.
Now, Sackville had, formalized their sort of thoughts on the process back in the summer in a letter to Minister Alain, saying amalgamation of existing towns with LSDs, or I guess with other towns, was unrealistic and that you would object to any forced amalgamation. Do you think that's still the case? Will you be formally objecting to this?
Well, that's a discussion that will have to be had with council. At this point in time, staff are just kind of looking at the document and starting to break it down so that council can be properly briefed and what the next steps are. You know, as you're aware, myself and the regional mayors, have been meeting and talking about regional issues. In fact, we have another one scheduled for November 29th. So, council will have to determine, at that point in time, based on the information and the briefing and the assistance through staff, what their position currently is going forward.
Okay. Now, Minister Alain says that, you know, that these changes are going to be brought forward in legislation in December, in a few weeks, essentially.
Right. Right.
Do you think that this will warrant, you know, the next formal meeting of council is scheduled for December? So will you be meeting in advance to talk about this?
At this point in time, no, there's no work towards an earlier meeting. As I indicated, there's a lot of information in the document that needs to be kind of broken down, and council needs to be informed and have the ability to have that information in front of them so that they can make educated choices and decisions as to what next steps might be. So I think that's an important first step. So allowing staff to complete that work and properly brief council and talk about the challenges and talk about the benefits, and then, you know, council going from there.
I don't know if you had a chance to read today's documents. Did you see anything in there that you thought was a good sign and something, you know, that you felt was a good idea?
I've only gone through just kind of briefly just some points. There's nothing that's jumped out at me per se. You know, I think at this point in time, we're just pleased to see that the province is moving forward on the local governance reform. You know, we understand that it's really changing considerably, and with the decision that in regards to the amalgamation of Dorchester and the part of the Dorchester LSD, Sackville LSD, and Pointe aux Buttes. So, you know, I think those are kind of like some of the first takeaways that we're seeing. But there's nothing in there in particular that, you know, it, like I said, it's a very detailed document, and it's one that we'll have to get a better understanding around.
Okay. All right. I will note that there's, you know, one of the things in the town's letter to Minister Allen this summer was that you explicitly stated you're in favor of more regional collaboration on certain items. And right. Part of the proposal now is that regional service commissions will really expand their role to much more than they're doing now. Is that something, is that in line with, you know, the discussions that you had around more regional collaboration? Is that in line?
Well, I know that the regional mayors, we haven't had a chance to talk about tourism, economic development, but I think those are regional items to tackle. You know, they affect our entire area. So I think those are important avenues that, you know, if those are the enhanced services or part of the enhanced services of the Regional Service Commission, I believe that's a step in the right direction. And I think it will help the region achieve some of those economic growth opportunities and tourism opportunities that maybe instead of us each doing our own thing, trying to do something, will help kind of move us in the right direction.
All right. And well, I guess, I mean, this could mean an election much earlier than you planned, and it's probably early days, but at this point, do you imagine that you would still be interested in taking a role in municipal government in a new municipality that may be formed by next year?
Oh, for sure. You know, no matter the makeup or how the change, our region is important. This region is important to me. The community is important to me. And another election might happen sooner than later based on what's been put out there today. But, you know, I when I made the commitment to run for mayor, it's about moving our community forward. So, and with that comes challenges, and with that comes change. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we are right now.
Do you think you'd have any concerns with, being part of a municipal government that, you know, has the sort of needs and concerns of both a sort of small town and larger rural areas? I mean, when you think about that, do you have concerns about the level of complexity of running a municipality that has such wildly disparate sort of types of residential areas?
You know, there's different needs within our own community. I've always looked at Sackville as being a rural community. Sometimes we see the hustle and bustle of our downtown, but ultimately growing up here, growing up in this area, I was as connected to Port Elgin and Dorchester because I attended high school here with folks from those areas and new people and families in those areas. We were one rural community, and the needs change, but maybe there is opportunity here. We talk about planning, and I know some of the issues that have arisen with folks in British Settlement in regards to blasting in the gravel pit. I mean, you know, those type of things, you know, once, you know, we see this unfold, there might be opportunity to help people in those areas that maybe the municipality wasn't able to help in the past. So I look at it as opportunity. I look at Sackville as, yeah, we're more of a commerce hub per se, but at the same end, we're very rural. And I think a lot of the needs that happen within this area and outside areas are common. There's more things in common, I think, than people might realize.
All right. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess I'll ask you one more question, Mayor Michaud. Sure. You know, based on, you know, what you've heard from residents, what you know of residents, do you expect opposition to this from not just, you know, council or staff, but from constituents?
Well, I probably we will hear opposition to this. Ultimately, when something new is delivered, it's understanding and helping people, you know, and first of all, understand what this means for our municipality, and then helping people understand what it means to them. So, yeah, I'm sure I will hear opposition or concern, no different than a lot of the other topics we've been talking about, such as healthcare. So, and I anticipate that people will be concerned about what happens and concerned about how it's going to affect them.
You mentioned healthcare, and I haven't had a chance to speak to you about the new healthcare plan issued by the province. Right. What was your reaction to that plan? There was not a lot of consequence, I don't think, for Sackville immediately, but what were your thoughts?
Well, that was the main thing I was concerned about, was the fact of any potential loss of services here in Sackville. So, you know, I think that was the biggest concern. You know, at this point in time, I think we need to, again, it's one of these understanding how this plan will affect Sackville Memorial Hospital and enhance the services there. You know, there were some components within that that I was happy to see them tackle in regards to virtual care. With the large student body here that don't have a primary care person, physician or a nurse practitioner, I think it's important that those avenues are opened up. Also, the talk around Ambulance New Brunswick and the fact of finding additional services there, just in transferring non-emergency cases, and also adding a different, I think it was emergency medical technician to the makeup of persons. You know, I think those are positive steps, but, you know, we'll be looking to, and I've already reached out to Dr. Dornan, the interim CEO of Horizon, to help our municipality understand specifically how this plan will be implemented here and how it affects services here and enhances those services.
That was Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud. Even before hiring staff and determining tax rates and deciding the composition of a new council, the transition team will be responsible for naming our new municipality. The type of municipal entity and the legal name will be decided by July 1st, 2022. Taxation promises to be the most controversial part of the new plan because people currently residing in local service districts pay much lower tax rates than those in municipalities with local governments. The plan calls for the maintenance of different tax rates in amalgamated entities, with any increases or decreases determined by the transition team. And Alain claims any tax rate change will be tied directly to service provided. People will pay for services they receive, and they will not pay for the services they do not receive, he said Thursday. This ability to levy different tax rates for different parts of a municipality according to the services available is new and will make it more palatable for rural LSD property owners to stomach amalgamation. However, it is likely that LSD rates will go up with amalgamation, since there are immediate costs associated with having a council and staff, and there are also existing regional services that reach beyond town lines, such as the operation of the Tantramar Veterans Memorial Civic Center. Live music events abound in Sackville this weekend. There's a country music and fiddle show tonight at the Sackville Legion featuring the Carter Sisters and Kyle Legere and Rod Allen and Friends. On Saturday afternoon, the Sackville Festival of Early Music presents the Spruce Larks, featuring Kirsty Money on nickel harpa and Jude Pelly on guitar, mandolin, and bouzouki. And tonight and Saturday, two live music events are happening at the town's newest music venue, Mel's Tea Room, presented by Mel's and Sappy Fest. The partnership between Sappy Fest and Mel's Tea Room is a new one, but a natural one. Sappy Fest's Jeff McKinnon and Mel's co-owner Dave Epworth came to CHMA Studios to talk a bit about their new partnership and the shows they have planned for this weekend. Jeff McKinnon and Dave Epworth, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Erica.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
So tell me a bit about how two Sackville institutions have now come together and are collaborating on two shows this weekend.
Okay. Well, I guess on behalf of Sappy Fest was an institution that was without a live music venue. We've seen a rapid decline in the number of music venues in town in the last little while, not only due to COVID, but going back over the last several years, we've seen George's Roadhouse close, and some institutions that used to present live music events have decided to no longer present those events. And so we were like an institution without a live music venue, and Mel's was an institution that was a live music venue without performers. So Dave and I knew each other personally beforehand, and so that's how a lot of connections are built, through friends. And so that's how that connection came to be. We were both looking for something that the other could provide, awesome. Which is how a lot of partnerships work. It's great.
Mel's has just started on this journey of becoming Sackville's newest music venue. How is it going so far, Dave?
Well, I don't like the word pivot. I'm not sure why, but if there was a better word, I would use it. But, you know, with obviously running a restaurant right during COVID is not the best. So we just sort of thought, well, something else that I know a little bit about is live music. And, you know, figured we'd take a little stab at it and see how that works. So far, it's been really good. We've had a lot of people reach out, looking to route artists through when they're doing tours and stuff. So that's kind of how that started.
Yeah. Tell me about these shows that are coming up this weekend. What do you got Friday night?
Friday night, we have Mike Trask. You might know Mike in many different, I want to say, genres, because he spans quite a few. This one here it's a full band. From what I've heard, it's blues with Mike's touch on it. Mike is very entertaining. He's a really, really true guy. You know, once you get to know him, you just like him more and more.
He puts on a great live show. High energy.
Yeah, great live show. Really easy to sort of get into it, you know. And as far as the Mark Green show,
that's on Saturday.
Mark, I've actually been working with Mark for about 5 years, playing with him. We were just getting stuff written to record and start playing when COVID hit. So, you know, we took the opportunity to record an album, which is just about done. So this is kind of, you know, the first chance that we've had to perform in town. We were booked to play at the Fall Fair, but that, you know, fell through. So
right, yeah. Yet another victim of COVID.
Yeah,
it's a good chance to provide a few artists in town, though, a fair artist fee for performing in a time where live music is just getting off the ground again. And it's a good test to see what the public's appetite is for attending a live music event without the pressure to have to sell a bunch of tickets to pay the artists. Mm-hmm. So it's important to note that the funding for this event is provided through the Town of Sackville, Border Town, and Mel's, and Sappy Fest. So the three of us are funding this event in order to pay the artists so that we're not relying on sale of tickets. So like I say, it's a good chance to just test the waters to see what the appetite is for live music events. Mm-hmm. Because as you can imagine, I myself am a little nervous. I mean, we're going to be checking vaccinations, keeping social distance, wearing masks, following all the public health guidelines. But for myself, I've been to very few public events since restrictions were lifted, as many you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But to be able to pay these artists a fair fee to perform is pretty exciting for us. And then not have to rely on folks to pay a door fee or box office.
You don't have to. You don't need massive crowds to be able to cover your costs here.
There's less pressure.
Less pressure, yeah. But right. You still are selling tickets, right?
Even though it's a free show, we still set up an Eventbrite for both shows.
That's to reserve capacity. There is limited capacity. That's another one of the regulations that we're following as far as health guidelines is to limit capacity. And so the pre-registration is simply to reserve your spot so that when you show up at the door, you can be brought in, check your vaccination, and you're good for the evening.
Okay, so the Eventbrite is mostly for tracking people and keeping track of capacity, and these shows are free. That's great to know.
Yeah, and it's actually something that we didn't really realize was happening, but it's also helpful. People buy their tickets in groups, so they kind of can sit in their bubble together. They've bought tickets together. They're still sort of sitting together. Mm-hmm. And as far as, you know, the food and drinks, we have wait staff. So they're, you know, they don't have to get up and go to the bar and be sort of mixed in with the rest of the people. Everyone can just come sit and sort of stay in their spot, and everything comes to them. So it's a little bit safer, I think, yeah, as far as that goes.
All right. And these are all ages shows, would you say?
Yeah.
No earplugs required for these bands, or what do you think? okay.
Maybe for really, really little ears. One of my motivations for live music in the restaurant is there's not a lot of opportunity for young people to see live music. Less so now. So, you know, I'm interested in having people come out and bring kids, bring them to see what the atmosphere is like and what it's like to see, you know, live performances.
Yeah. Sounds good. Jeff, while we have you here, I'll ask you, now I know Sappy had been looking for a new creative director. Is there going to be announcements coming down the pike at some point?
There will be.
Yeah.
The process has been underway for the last few weeks. We put a call out for resumes. We received many exciting applications of interested folks that would like to carry on as creative director of Sappy Fest. I can tell you that the hiring committee is actively interviewing and reviewing applications as they come in, and there should be announcement in the next couple of weeks as to who the next creative director is. Having said that, this event is being pulled together entirely by the volunteer board of directors, since we don't have any paid staff at the moment. But yeah, in a few weeks, we should have an announcement coming out as to who the next creative director of Sappy Fest will be. I can say that we are also planning some winter programming, so that will be one of their first tasks, is to pull together some exciting shows through the winter to help create a bit of excitement that we still exist and we're still hoping to go forward with the festival this summer, depending on what the health regulations are at that time. Mm-hmm. But it is an exciting time to be able to, that we're anticipating a new creative director starting in the next few weeks and pulling together some winter programming that we'll give folks a taste of what has come out, hopefully in the last year and a half or so, that artists have not had a chance to perform live and carry on the tradition of artistry and community in Sackville.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to these shows this weekend. Thank you both for coming down.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks, Erica.
That was Sappy Fest's Jeff McKinnon and co-owner of Mel's Tea Room, Dave Epworth. Mike Trask plays tonight at 9 p.m. at Mel's, and Mark Green takes the stage at 4 p.m. on Saturday. The shows are free, but you will need to book tickets in advance. Check chmafm.com for links to reserve tickets. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Friday, November 19th. As always, we hope you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.